Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
I love worship. You can take your seats, everybody. I do. I think I love worship so much. I feel like that's where I can just express our gratitude to God. Years ago, I heard that the message is actually for us, but worship is for Him. And so as you worship, you bring yourself to Him. And He just loves it. And He loves each one of you. That's got nothing to do with my message, but that's okay. Oh, thank you for Pastor Sonia. She's a bit sick today, so let's just keep her in your prayers. So thank you, Levi, for running the show this morning. Thank you, musicians. They always do amazing jobs, so thank you so much. But today's message is, who is God to you? It's a very big question if you start to think about it. Today we're going to look at the character of God, and the only way to understand God, really to understand God, is to first understand His character. So when my husband, now George, and I started dating, but before we were dating, we were friends for a long time, and we were in young adults together. My friend Tammy, she was in also another leader in young adults. It was like the three of us, three amigos, and we were leading young adults together. And then, you know, I had to get to know George. We had to get to know each other. Yes, we had to understand the pros and cons. Yes, yes, when you're dating someone. Yes, pros and cons. But remember when I was younger, like probably a teenager. You know, we grew up in youth and we're told to write a list out what you wanted in a spouse, husband, some of you will be a wife, you know. But for me, what did I want? And my list was really detailed when you're a teenager, like, I want this and this. Maybe it was too detailed. And then in my 20s, I ripped that list up. I realised that's not real and that's unrealistic. And I made a new list, and I didn't actually write it down. It was just probably my heart's desire of what I wanted in a man, or in my husband to be. And really what I wanted was just a couple of things. A strong Christian man that loved God with all his heart and that was dedicated to the house. And I also didn't want to fall for, this might sound strange, but I didn't want to fall for looks of what they look like first. I actually wanted to fall for the character and the heart of the person first. And then I wanted someone that made me laugh. And it was sort of tick, 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 tick for all those things. Now, you've got to understand that I was heartbroken before I met George. And so the reason I didn't want to fall for looks first is because that's what I did last time and I got heartbroken. So this time I was like flipping it on its edge, God. And really, God blinded us to each other in that sense for a long time. We were just friends for a long time, really close friends, like best friends for a long time. We'd call each other daily for years, years and years. And then it was suddenly, oh, someone said, George. And I was like, George? Oh, yeah. And then my eyes were suddenly become open, right? So it doesn't always happen the way you expect it to happen. But God is a good God and He knows what we need as well. Now, don't worry, everybody. I do find George handsome, and it's all worked out. We're coming up to 15 years married in January next year, so we're very excited. 15 years engaged already, for counting that. So when we were dating and getting to know each other, we had to understand the character of each other, the personality of each other. You know, he's very quiet, very calm. I'm the total opposite. Very emotional, very extroverted, opposites in every aspect of it. And we fought a lot as like just friends or even dating. We actually like argued and disagreed a lot and we got it all out in the open. And then God did something you know, just before we got engaged, our hearts changed towards that. It became a deeper love for each other. And then when we got engaged, there was arguing. It was a quick engagement. There was no problems. Everything went smooth. Everything went so smooth. And even when we got married, it was, you know, sometimes they say, oh, the first 12 months is always hard, you're settling in. It wasn't. It wasn't for us. We already knew each other. Like, as in, we knew the good things, but we knew the bad things. We knew what we were marrying. You know, we had been friends for pretty much all of our 20s. We got married when I was 30. So we had been friends for a long period of time beforehand. And that actually helped our marriage, marrying your best friend. And we as Christians are in a relationship with God. And in being in a relationship with God, we have to understand the character of God. So let me ask the question, who is God to you? This year I've read a book called The Good Endeavor. It's by Tim Keller. He's a Christian author, and it's about being a Christian in the workplace. And one thing that stood out to me is that he speaks about how God in the beginning, he created in 6 days creation. And Tim states that God worked, that God created, he designed everything in 6 days. But have you ever thought as a Christian, as a human being, that we are actually created to work? We are actually created in God's image, and one of the attributes of God and one of the characteristics of God is to create. Because in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as a Christian, this book really blew my mind. As a Christian, we are created in God's image, and God created everything, and we need to work because it is actually a positive attribute of God. We see it sometimes as a burden. We go, oh, I've got to work. I don't want to work. I don't want to be a millionaire, and I don't want to work. I don't want to go on these fancy holidays that you see on YouTube and these TikTok people and whatever it's called these days. I'm not in the know, so I apologize if I said anything incorrect to this younger generation. But God is literally saying, this book really changed my mindset, because he's saying an attribute and a characteristic of God is actually to work. So we, in our everyday job, need to work. We actually need to work. And you see the retirees, they get to the end of their careers and they go, what do I do? What do I do? How do I keep myself busy? Because the DNA of a human being is actually creating likeness of God. And if you're created in the likeness of God, you'll continually to work, and it might be in a different attribute. My father, he takes care of my kids. He picks them up. He's so busy, you know, doing lawn bowls, and he's having his social things at the plaza. It looks different when you're a retiree. It looks different when you're a teenager. It will look different to what it looks like when you're 20 and 30 and 40 and 50. And see, every decade of your life, it will look different, the word work, but we are literally created in that way, in God's image. And everything we do, every attribute, every work that we do, if it's serving, if it's at school, if it's at, you know, Coles, if it's at, you know, a career, God is saying, you do it according to me and you give me the glory because I've given you the tools to be able to do that. Recently, it's not in my notes, recently I had an encounter at the plaza with some youth who had stolen some things. You know, they're all over the media. And they had just, I was getting my Nando's. I was just on lunch break. And these youth had come running out of the plaza with the whole thing, you know, from the JD store, of course. And they've run out and they've just stopped right in front of me with my Nando bag. And I just had this boldness come upon me. And I said, did you guys just steal all these items? And they said, yes. And I said, do you think that is, we had this honest conversation, right, in the midst of the food court. Do you think this is the right thing to do? And they're like, we can't afford it. Well, if you can't afford it, then you can't have it. This is what the conversation was going. And it was a really honest conversation. These guys weren't rough. They weren't disrespectful. I wasn't disrespectful to them. I didn't pull out my phone and start filming them. Why do you need to? There's cameras everywhere these days. You don't need to do that, do you? No. No one was chasing these people. They just stand there and have a conversation. And I said, since I was 8 years old, I might even be a bit younger, I was doing pamphlet runs with my mum. I was working since I was 8. So no excuse, I said, go find a job and then you can earn what you need to do and buy what you need to buy. And then they took off. They're probably thinking, that crazy redhead, that crazy redhead. But you've got to pick your moment. But in that moment, I felt a boldness come upon me. I felt a boldness to just speak. And that is sort of the season we're coming into. God is going to prompt you to speak, but you've got to be wise with those promptings. My husband, I rang him, he's like, do you have a death wish? I said, it wasn't, it, you know, I felt safe around them. I didn't feel at risk at any point in time, but it was very funny. But God, He is the creator. So one of the characteristics of God is to create. So we're going to go a bit deep. So there are three attributes today that we're going to talk about, more than three, but at the moment I'm going to speak on three, which is God is all-powerful, God is all-knowing, and God is present everywhere. So I pray I can say these words because I've been struggling for the last 24 hours. Omnipresence, that's the last one. That's the easy one, omnipresence. Omnipotence, this is the omnis. That's the one. Thank you, Dave. I still can't do it. I even broke it up into like how to say it. I knew I was going to get stuck. Apologies. Omnipotence means that God is in total control of himself and his creation. The other one that I can't say, Dave, that's the one, means that he is he's the ultimate of truth. This is based on his authority. He cannot lie, as it literally goes against his nature. He is truth. Omnipresent means that God's power and knowledge extend to all parts of the creation. He himself is present everywhere. And today, church, God is wanting to reveal his truth to you. God is wanting to bring you into a depth today that God is all powerful, that God is all knowing, that God is everywhere, that God is the creator. Understanding God's character, we need to understand God himself to go deeper into a relationship with him. It is not just coming here on a Sunday and saying, I'm getting enough for the next 6 days. God is saying, I need my church to actually go deeper for what is about to happen. God is strengthening and deep rooting us in the word of God and into the character because he is about to explode, because he needs the Christians in this next season to rise up. And the way we see part of who God is through Jesus. You look at Jesus and he's literally revealing who God is. So Jesus showed compassion. Jesus revealed forgiveness. Jesus healed and set people free. And maybe today you see Jesus as the healer and the forgiver. Like in Matthew 4:23-24, it says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria. And people soon began to bring to him all who were sick. And whatever their sicknesses, whatever their disease was, whatever the demon possessed was, the epileptic, the paralyzed, he healed them all. Wow. He healed them all. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the teacher. And in Romans 5:1-5, it says, therefore, since you have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into a place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, hope in salvation. And this hope will lead not to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. But do you actually know that, church? Do you actually know how much God loves you? Because he died, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for each of you as individual people, not as a collective group. He saw you, he sees you, and he wants to show who he is to you. And then he says, right at the last time, and because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with this love. God loves you, he cares for you, he's forgiven you, and he's given us the Holy Spirit. Woo, the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not less insignificant as the other two of God, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. He's just the last one to be revealed to us. They were all there in the beginning. It's all important. God is all powerful. God is the healer. God is the forgiver. He is the restorer. He is the teacher. He has given us all these free gifts. But trusting in God in spite of your situation and acknowledging that even though right now, maybe my situation's a bit tough. Even though right now I'm looking at a quite a negative report from a doctor. Even though right now I've lost my job. Even though right now I didn't get those marks in university or at school. Even though right now it looks a bit like not what I expected. You stand firm with the word of God and you do not waver from the truth of God. Because when you stand on the word of God and the truth and you use the scripture as a weapon for your life, you will see those mountains move in your life. Because we know that God is alive and his truth is powerful and his truth is alive and it's a weapon that God has given you. Start to use it. Start to read the Bible. Start to get into the words. You stand firm because you know his character and his word. Because, church, if you have a promise this morning from God that has not yet come to pass, maybe you've been praying for something and it has not yet here, do not give up. Stand and declare God's miracle in your life. Stand and declare, I am one that will run and very persistently fight for something I believe in. I'm one that, you know, that will go, and I'm very competitive in spirit and probably in the spiritual realm as much as in the physical realm. By sport, I'm very competitive. I have a competitive spirit, but it also is part of how God created me, right? So every attribute that I have, God has given me. So if he's giving me these feelings and these emotions and these fiery spirit and this competitive spirit, guess what? God has those too, yeah? Right? God has it too. He hasn't given you anything he doesn't need you to have. He's giving you all that you need to have. And it's taken me a long time to accept me for who I am, to accept the emotional sometimes of who we are, to accept the flaws that we see as flaws, but God doesn't see as flaws because he's made you in his image. God doesn't see, but we see because we're judged by these people around us. We're judged by YouTubers and we're judged by, you know, people that we see on the streams. But don't worry about that. But God is saying you need to know the truth because the truth will set you free. You need to see me first, not me. You need to see God first because he will reveal his truth to you. He will reveal his light to you. He will reveal his promise to you. And he's saying, don't give up on your prayer. Don't give up on the prayer. It may be, it's just not now. Maybe it's just soon. Because we've got to remember that God's timing is not our timing. You know? And I think sometimes we use prayer. I'm going ahead of my notes. We use prayer like we're ordering fast food. God is not a fast food outlet. We cannot just drive up each Sunday and place our prayer order and expect it to be delivered. But sometimes we do that. We use God as fast food because we're so expectant. We're so used to it. Microwaves, everything's instant. Instant this, instant this, instant that. Instant gratification, everything's instant in this world. But God is constant. Yeah, right. He doesn't waver. But his answers might not be instant. Sometimes they are. But sometimes he wants to produce endurance. Sometimes he wants to produce character. Sometimes he's saying just a little bit further, Beck, just a little bit further, because if you just keep believing, I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to give you more capacity. I'm going to give you more so you can have more, so then you'll be able to give out more for others around you. God sees everything. He actually knows what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. It may not look how you want it, but God will give you the desires of your heart. He will also give you what you need. Sometimes it may not be what we want, so keep that in mind. But God is a God that blesses. God is a God that heals. God is a God that is just. In Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. I love that. I love that. It's like my life, one of my life verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, because our understanding is limited. God is not off this earth. We sometimes don't understand the character of God, and what we do in limiting the character of God, you're bringing him down to a human level. God is not human like that. He doesn't operate as the character of a fallen, sinful human, because he is not sin. Even Jesus was not full of sin. He was not full of sin. He forgave us. He saw us. He will make your path straight. You believe it. Use the scripture. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. We live in a world that is very full of anxiety. You hear it all the time, from little ones to the older ones and to the even probably to the grandparents' generation. Anxiety, anxiety, I've got anxiety, I've got anxiety. Well, guess what the scripture says about worry? The worry will, tomorrow will take care of itself. You've got to remember the scripture that God has given to you. But God is saying, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. God is saying, be thankful for when you pray. Be thankful for when you thank me for what I have. Every morning on the way to school with my kids in the car, they pray. And the first thing that I pray, we thank you that we have breath in our lungs. We thank you for today. We thank you, God, for what's going to happen today. Every day we thank him together. We start our prayers with thanking God. Let your requests then be known to God. I think sometimes we don't do the order right. We just say, God, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. But God is saying, hey, no. Acknowledge me first. Thank me first. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Acknowledge me first and then let your requests be known to God. It says, and then peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds. Guard your heart and your minds. The way the enemy comes in, he will come and target you and your family in your hearts and your minds. And God is saying, I will make a protection over your household. I will make a protection over your life with your hearts and your minds. But God is saying, I need you to pray. I need you to thank me. I need you to get the order right. I need you to understand who he is in the majesty of the character of God. He says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Whew, trust in him. Pray, surrender your desires of your heart. Surrender it. So today, who is God to you? I'm just going to keep asking that question because I want you to really think about it. Is he the miracle-working God? Because you've got to understand that God cannot deny his own truth, which means miracles, healing, power of God is God's truth. It's part of his character. And if it's part of his character that he actually revealed to Jesus on this earth that everyone was getting saved, that everyone was getting healed, that everyone was getting set free, he can't deny that, saying that's what I want for you, because it's part of God's character. Healing is part of God's nature and character, and he wants that for us. God wants us to walk in the fullness of healing and to understand the word of God. And sometimes we go, but I haven't got healed yet. Don't give up.
You don't know when, how, what that's going to look like. Just keep praying. Just keep seeking. Keep worshiping. Dude, there's so much power in worship. There is the weapon of worship. The weapon of worship. Some of my darkest times, some of my loneliest times, some of my, when my heart has just been so broken, worship. I can't sing in those moments. I don't even open up my mouth in those moments. I just listen, and my spirit is becoming alive in those moments. God's timing is not our timing. God works in mysterious ways. And he's sometimes saying, but not now. But as I said in Romans 5, we can rejoice too when we, it says, rejoice when you run into problems. Ooh, hello, and trials. We don't like problems and trials, God. We don't like that. We built a house recently, didn't we, George? We just moved in. Yay. It was almost 5 years in the making. So we had lots of trials, lots of testing. So we had this, felt like we wanted to move into this beautiful new place, and they said it'll be a year to settle the land. 4 years later, just for the land to settle. 4 years. And during that time, we're renting, we sold our other house. We thought it was going to be very quick. But sometimes things don't go to plan, do they? And so we kept praying. We kept saying, there was times where George was like, I think I just want to give up. I'm like, no, we're almost there. We're almost there. I can see it. I can see it. I can see it. Sometimes you do waver. Sometimes you do. Like, is this what God actually wants for me? And I'm following, no, let's keep strong. Let's keep firm. And then it did settle. And it was like, oh, is this really ours? It doesn't feel real, you know. And now we're in the house, so we're blessed. And God actually wants that for each of you. But during that time, I'm not talking about the house, I'm just talking about the blessing. God wants each of you to feel the blessings of God. God wants each of you to understand that his character is not to withhold from you, but actually to give to you. God, that's the character of God. He loves you that much that he wants to give you the good gifts, good blessings. God is good, and in his perfect timing, healing occurs. But we need to keep praying. We need to keep declaring the goodness. We need to keep remembering the healing power of God and trust in him at all times. I remember both my mum and even Vince at times, and they've both passed away, right, of different things. But they'll both, I believe, both were powerful believers of healing. In their hospital beds, in different, obviously, different locations, they would be witnessing. They would be sharing about God's goodness, even in their own situation. And I think that gives credit to when you have faith to believe. When you have faith to believe, not just for me, not just for what I'm going through, but for everybody else out there. Because that's what God wants us for. God wants us to go, he actually wants to heal. He actually wants to give you good gifts. We live in a fallen world. We live in a sinful world. And there's a spiritual realm that goes on. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities, powers, and darkness. You have to understand that that's why you have to keep praying. That's why you have to understand that you've got to get scripture to be your weapon. You've got to understand this because God is saying that you pray once, great, it's released, but it has to get here. You have to keep praying. And God is a very, very good God. In Matthew 17:20, it says, you don't have enough faith, talking to the disciples, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth, if you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, it's very small, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. That's a very powerful scripture. When Jude was about two and Bella was a newborn, George and I lived with my parents for maybe 12 months. And it was such a blessing living there during that time. Mum's an early riser, and she would sneak in to the room. Our bassinet was on wheels, and then she would wheel the baby out, little Bella out, and she would just be rocking her and taking care of her so then I could get a little bit more rest. And Mum was quite, she always had a lot of sickness and you know, but she was also a powerful woman of God as well. And so she had very sore hips and very bad back, and she had two hip replacements, so she had arthritis in her body, and she had a lot of constant pain. Never denied her serving in the house. Never denied who she knew who her father was. Never denied it. In the midst of that, she never denied it. She knew who God was. She knew that God loved her. She knew that God was her father. But one morning I woke up and God clearly sort of corrected me. Have you ever been corrected by God? He was very firm. He's like, where is your faith? I was like, oh, well, I don't know. I was a newborn baby. I was very tired. And he said to me, all you need is faith of a mustard seed to see a miracle. And I said, what do you want to me to say or pray? He goes, I want you to pray, be healed in the name of Jesus for your mum every morning. It wasn't anything big. It wasn't anything massive. Or I wasn't fasting and praying. He just said, I want you to pray to be healed in the name of Jesus every morning for your mum. So I started to do it. I thought, thank you, God. I'll do that. So I wake up very tired and I would say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And I would go on my day. I wouldn't even think twice about it. I'll just pray and go. But it wasn't, you know, I was consistent. It wasn't a long prayer. It wasn't even, sometimes I just thought, well, God told me to do this. I'm going to do it. And it wasn't a couple of weeks later, Mum was with her little friends and she's like, you know what? I'm feeling so much better. My back's not as sore. My hip's not as sore. I said, oh my goodness, Mum, I've been praying for you every morning. You don't know the power of your prayer for that person that you're praying for. You don't see sometimes even what your prayers will be and do for that people until you possibly get to heaven. You won't even see it, but God will reveal it in his timing when you get to heaven. But right now, when God says, pray for that woman, pray for that man, pray for that child, pray for the youth, pray for this person that's going through the operation, pray for that little baby, pray. It doesn't have to be too long, but you've got to understand the power of prayer. Because if we don't pray, things can happen. Things can happen. But God is saying, all I need you to be is obedient to when I ask you to pray. All I need you is to say, God, do it. And we've seen it. You know, we've seen healing. We've seen healing. We've also seen death. And sometimes you stand here and you go, how do you measure the two together? When there is healing, but there is death, and it's really hard. And the only person that can get you through such mourning is God. Because he himself knows what it means to lose his own son. Okay? So when I went through the death of losing Mum, and, you know, we got Vince that just passed away this year, it is so heartbreaking. And you just fall into your father's arms. And I literally go, I cannot get through this without God. That's how I get through it. I go, God, I trust you with all my heart. You know what I need. So right now I'm falling into the maker's arms because I can't do this without you. I'm a complete mess. And he will slowly restore. He will slowly rebuild. It won't be fast food, people, okay? It's a heart that needs to be healed. And he goes, I know which piece I need to put together at that particular moment. I know what piece of worship music. I know what message you need to hear. I know how to restore you back. But you've got to be open to the restoration and the hand of God in those moments. I've also seen healing. You know, I was healed of, I don't really talk about it that much because I thought it was very small, but I've learned that it's like a famous quote by, I think it's Albert Einstein, who says there's two ways to view this world, that everything's a miracle or nothing's a miracle. So I view this world that everything is a miracle. The breath, the trees, the sea, everything I see is because God has created it. And then once I was at a prophetic conference, and I might have shared this already, and I think Tammy was there, and my dad was there, and I used to have really just pain down my hips and my, you know, all the way down. I couldn't sit for more than probably 15 minutes. As soon as I would sit more than 15 minutes, I would start to get this pain. I couldn't travel far. It was ridiculous. I was in my 20s. And then I remember standing, just I used to have to stand at the back and just wait for the right time to go to my seat because I couldn't sit. And I remember just saying to God, it wasn't even a prayer or a request. I was just having a little chat. And I said, God, it'd be nice to be healed. But I know there's more people that need your healing, like cancer and other people out there. So heal them first. But, if you've got time for me, that's fine. It wasn't even anything. It was just a thought. Anyway, it was a prophetic conference, and we're sitting at the prophetic conference, and the person goes, we're going to do some activations. So if you've never prophesied, so he taught, he did a lot of teaching, and then they go, if you've never prophesied openly, we're going to get you to prophesy. So everyone was standing up, and this lady on the totally other end, there was like a couple of hundred, if not thousand people there, on the totally other end of the auditorium, says, I've never prophesied, but I saw a vision of a girl with red hair, curly hair, with pain going down her leg. The guy in front of me, stranger, turns around and says, that's you. I said, yes, it is. Anyway, and then they kept prophesying, they kept praying and did corporate prayer. No one laid hands on me. When they were praying corporately, I felt my hips move. Right, I literally felt it move back into place, and I never thought that my hips were out of place. You just don't know, but God knows, right? And so then I felt I was like about 80% healed, but I gave me enough fire to declare 100% healing over my life. So I went out of that and I said, no, I am healed in the name of Jesus. I declare that my hips are healed. And still to this day, because the enemy knows already I've had that pain, and still to this day, sometimes it tries to come back, and I still declare 20 years later, a little bit more than that, I declare I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Declare the word of God. Use it as a scripture. Use it as a weapon. Write down. You know what I encourage you to do is start to write down some scriptures that are life scriptures for your life, for this moment. Maybe it's just for the moment that you're in. Write down some scriptures, and every morning and every night, stick it on a mirror in your bathroom, stick it on a toilet door, wherever you go regularly, and then write it down, and you declare it and you speak it out over your life. You watch the atmosphere change, because you are creating the atmosphere. You are moving it with the word of God, because God is saying, in Matthew 17, you say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. God is saying there are mountains standing in your way as individuals, Christians here. And he's saying, I need your tenacity. I need your fire. I need your boldness, church. I need your authority, church. I've given you all that I can. I made my son die and rise again. And he's saying, I need my church to understand that you have authority to demand that mountain in your life to move in the name of Jesus, and you will see it move in the name of Jesus. That is the authority that God is wanting to bestow upon each one of you. You already have it. And sometimes you say, oh, that's not me. It is you. Because the character of God, he cannot deny his truth. He cannot deny himself. He's saying, I've given you all, but use it. Use it. And I feel like right now I just saw weapons, all sorts of weapons on the floor. And he's wanting each one of you to pick up your weapon, your spiritual weapon, not a physical weapon. He wants you to pick up the spiritual weapon and start to fight this fight. And God is saying, I've given you everything, faith of a mustard seed. Why can't you say to that mountain, move from your life? Why can't you say to that situation, open that door? Why can't you say, you can actually say it. You can declare it in the name of Jesus according to his will for your, but use the scripture. Use the scripture. Faith. Be healed in the name of Jesus. It doesn't take much. We sometimes think it's too much, but it is not actually. Just start to believe. Start to believe. Jesus is rising his church to understand the fullness of the nature of God. He wants his church to operate in the full character and the understanding of the knowledge of God. All the works, all the miracles, all the healings, God is still the healer. He wasn't the healeth, like In the past, that's when he did it. He is still the healer. It's a current verb. He's saying, I will still heal and set you free. But sometimes the healing might look a bit different. Maybe there's doctors that come alongside you. I always pray in the name of Jesus when someone's going in operation. Even myself, I went in for an operation a couple of years ago. And there was operating arms. They were like robotic arms. And I said, I'm going to pray for these robotic arms in the name of Jesus. It just came out of my mouth. I'm like, I get a little bit of adrenaline rush when I'm, you know, getting some medication into me. So I was like, they're putting me under and I'm like, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for you. In the name of Jesus, I'm praying for you. In the name of Jesus, I'm praying for these robotic arms. Why not? You want the angels in the room with you. You want the angels walking, guarding your house. Every night when we pray with my kids at night, we say, in the name of Jesus, we ask for the guarding angels around this property. We ask for the protection around my property line, that no enemy, that no one will enter this property line in the name of Jesus. No sickness will come into my household in the name of Jesus. We pray over the windows. We pray over the doors. Every night I pray with that. Charlotte, that was mainly Charlotte. All of them. In the name of Jesus. You pray that way and you watch your atmosphere change. It doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect, that your world's perfect. It won't mean that. It just means that you know that you're standing knowing you've got the full weight of heaven behind you. So find a scripture that matches your situation and pray into it. And you might go, it actually takes effort to do it. But watch it change your situation for God's glory, for God's purpose. Because remember, He is the creator. He is everywhere. He is all-knowing. He is truth. He is the healer. Understanding the depth and the understanding of God is where we need to get to. When you understand and go deep into the presence of God, not just the presence, into the power of God, not just the power, into the understanding of God, not just the understanding, but into the teaching of God, you will see that God is a miracle-working God and He's constantly loving upon His kids. He's constantly blessing you. Believe that everything is a miracle. I'm going to invite the worship team up and we're going to stand today. So today, church, what is God wanting you to believe in your life? What is your mountain? What is your healing? Because remember, God can't lie. It goes against His truth. He can't deny His own character. It's okay to remind God of who He is in your life. It's okay to use the scripture for your purpose because that's what He's given it for. But what do you believe and who do you believe God is in your life? Who do you want God to be in your life? Because sometimes what we do, we say, I'm comfortable with this part of God. So I'm just going to say, this is my God. But I'm not comfortable with everything of God because that's too much for me right now. But God knows that as well, right? But God is saying, I want you to be stretched. I want to stretch you to understand the fullness of God because He has good things. He has great things. He has full adventure. God has given everything. He's created us this way for His glory, for His purpose. So God is asking, who do you see God in your life? How do you see Him? What do you want Him to be like? Are you only comfortable with knowing this part of God because that's your mindset fits there? Or are you comfortable with knowing just the move of God, understanding that He is a fool, that He is God? And it's sometimes a mindset shift. He goes from, we see God as this. He's on the same eyeline as us. But God is not on the same level as us. He is higher than us. And He looks down and He says, all that we need. He says, all that we need, church. Don't deny Him the miracle that He wants to give you. The healing power that He wants to give you. The breakthrough that He wants to give you. Use your scripture. Use the word of God. As I said, these are powerful scriptures. Use it. faith. Use the knowledge. Use the knowing. Don't be anxious about everything, but in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on yourself, on your own understanding, because that is limited. Don't lean on your own understanding, but all your ways, acknowledging Him, and He's actually going to direct your ways. He's actually going to make your way straight. Have faith to believe. Have faith to believe. Have faith to believe, church. Do you have faith this morning? Do you have faith to believe in your miracle? And sometimes you go, I just don't know. I don't know, but at least you're honest. I don't know is actually okay. Because God's saying, where you're at, I will meet you where you're at. I'm going to meet you where you're at. Now, I didn't think I had full faith when I had some of my miracles, but God, He's so good. He's so good, church. And sometimes we've got to understand the goodness of God. And that, again, He's His character. He's a good God. His love and His mercy follow you all the days of your life. And we need to understand that behind us, there's all these things that God is orchestrating. And He literally does it for each one of you. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, may you just reveal your truth this morning, that you love them, that you've called them, that you want to heal them, then set them free, that they are worthy to be loved. Some of you are sitting here right now and going, I'm just not worthy. I'm just not worthy of it. I'm just not worthy of my miracle. I'm just not worthy. I've done this. I've done that. That is not God. That's that thought right now, you take it captive and you make it obedient to Christ. You take the thoughts that are not of God captive and make it obedient to Christ, and you declare that scripture over your life. I've had to do that multiple times, and I train my kids from such a young age to do that. You declare the mind, you set it right according to the word of God, and you say, I take that thought captive, because that thought is not of you, God. I know it's not of you. It's not according to the will. It's not according to, and I'm going to give it to you, God. I'm going to take it and I'm going to give it to you. And you declare it, and you repeat it. Use the scripture on repeat, and you watch and see what will change in your life.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.